I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time for a look back on today's match. This is the Full Time Report with the voices of our Atlanta United, Mike Conti and Jason Longshore. The home for MLS in Atlanta. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Well, it's just been a very frustrating 2020 for Atlanta United. I'm frustrated. I know you are frustrated too, listening to us on the radio or on radio.com. You have a day like this where you just don't know how it could possibly happen. A team that you beat in their park 4-0 just 3 weeks ago, now they come into your park and you lose in stoppage time to DC United 2-1. The two goals you gave up are not the types of goals you've been giving up lately. It took a long time in the second half to look threatening. You were threatening in the first half, but it took a long time in the second half to look threatening. And now you are in, for a club like Atlanta United, in an almost inexplicable position where your playoff hopes, although not mathematically are dead, are on extreme life support. You will have three matches remaining, two on the road. You will be heavy underdogs in those two road matches. You might be an even odds favorite in the home match against Cincinnati, and you might have to win all three. And even then, that might not be enough because you've slipped now to 12th in the East, and you would have to vault two teams to get above the playoff line. It is what it is in 2020. It is explainable. I don't agree with the characterization of one national analyst out there that Atlanta United is uninspired and tepid. To me, they are disjointed. They don't have chemistry. They are frustrated. A lot of it has to do with the fact that their best player is injured, which is a point that has been conveniently overlooked at times by pundits. But the reality is Atlanta United lost to DC United today 2-1, and none of us are happy about it.
No, and I think the frustrating thing, because you can fire off whatever adjectives you want to use, because adjectives are easy to not have information to back it up. You cannot give up the first goal that you did. You just can't. And we know, and we talked about it throughout the match, you're fighting for 3 points here, but every point matters. Every point is critical. It's why last Sunday was so brutal, because in that match you should have gotten a point out of it. Every point matters. You're still fighting for three, but you can't give up the goal that you did to fall behind, because then you're running uphill and you're trying to find something, and you do. But to get to that point, you've had to change the way you play and sell everything out and try to push forward. You can't readjust. It still looked like you were going to get out with a point. And you give up a sloppy goal. You give up a sloppy goal late, and this is how 2020 feels. You're not good enough in the final third. And even though it was better today, you had 6 shots on target. You forced Bill Hamid into 5 saves. That part was better. It's still not good enough. You didn't get a good enough performance out of your number 9, Kubo Torres, to start. Adam John came on as a sub, a little bit better, a little bit livelier, but it still didn't really happen for him either. It's John Gallagher crashing in at the back post on a header. But you're just not getting enough chances in the final third. This team gets there, and they don't have the ideas to break it down, and especially break down a team that, as the day went on, sat deeper and deeper.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, giving them that first goal, which, again, was a shocking goal, the way that Atlanta United has defended and the way that their goalkeeper has kept goal lately. When you give up that goal in the 78th minute, it allows DC to play even more compact. And, in fact, you were able to break that down. But C'est la vie in 2020. Man of the match brought to you by Heineken. We're going to give it to Mo Adams today. Opta had him passing at 88%, 53 out of 60, and all 53 of his passes were scored as good passes and crosses. As far as the defensive portion of the match is concerned, Mo led the team with three tackles today. I think he's been phenomenal. He said in a media availability about 10 days ago that when he was out of the team, he was dealing with some personal issues that he says now that he has dealt with. And he's been phenomenal here the last couple weeks, starting in the holding midfield for Atlanta United.
Yeah, this was one where the lineup comes out and everybody's head kind of turns sideways, like, okay, Mo Adams is going to be the sixth today, not Jeff Lorenowitz. All right, that's a lot of pressure to deal with. And he did well. And as things got a little desperate, you know, he was maybe trying a little too hard to push the team forward and playing a little too fast. But he was active. He won the ball back quite a few times. He put a lot of pressure on DC and made it difficult for them to build up. And he did contribute going forward. The knock on Mo Adams has been what he does with the ball. That has to go away. That narrative has to be wadded up and thrown in the trash. Mo Adams was the best player on the field for Atlanta United today.
So he's our man of the match, brought to you by Heineken. Shots were 11-9 Atlanta United, 6 on target for Atlanta, 3 for DC. Atlanta United did have 3 shots on target in each half, but it took a long time for them in the second half to get those 3 shots on target. Possession was 56-44 Atlanta, 59-41 in the second half. But DC won 56% of the duels. Atlanta passed at 86%, DC at 82%. Corners were 3 for DC, 2 for Atlanta United. And Atlanta United conceded 17 fouls while DC conceded just 10. It feels like that duel stat might be the one that jumps out the most to me, Jason, because statistically you could say, well, maybe Atlanta United had the better. I think they had control of the match up until the Canales goal, but that duel stat is a little bit surprising that DC was so tilted in their favor.
Yeah, one thing that can tilt that, and the duel stat's a little hard to break down into specific kinds of duels. You dig into like tackles and interceptions and clearances. DC had more than Atlanta because Atlanta had 59% of the possession, so they had more of the ball, so there's more opportunities to defend. Were there more duels that DC could win in those situations? It felt like a pretty even game until the goal was gifted to them, and then everything changed.
Okay, so Atlanta United now. Well, before we go to break, it sounds like Stephen Glass's post-match media availability is starting, so we'll put the break on the back burner for a moment and go downstairs and let's hear from Glassy.
We were on the front foot and then, you know, we got caught. So
that's not Glassy.
Yeah, as I said, it's just frustrating, but, you know, we're not going to give up. We still have games left, like I said, and, you know, we're going to push to the end.
I think this is Brooks Lennon.
Next question will go to Jonathan Siegel.
Brooks, thanks for taking the
time. It is Brooks Lennon, not Glassy.
Feeling on the pitch, was it like, hey, we can really go win this thing? Just take us into what that back and forth kind of seesaw moment was like. It obviously was pretty heart-wrenching from afar, and just as much as you're able to share, how was that on the field?
Yeah, I mean, after we had equalized, after John scored, everyone on the pitch, you know, was ready to go after the second goal and try and win the game. I thought we had all of the momentum. We had them on the back foot. We were possessing. We were playing in their half, getting crosses in, you know, regaining the ball when the ball would pop out. We were just all over them. And then we just conceded one of their fluke counterattacks, and just very disappointing because I thought all the boys and even the atmosphere, we were pushing to get that second goal to win the game.
All right, next. Go to Yeah, Felipe, try it now.
All right, can you hear me, Brooks?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, sorry about that, and thank you, Justin. Brooks, I mean, the first half looked like the game plan was pretty clear from Atlanta United's perspective, going for the win, very attack-minded. I know you mentioned that you did feel like the team was energized, but from our perspective, the second half was a little bit more sluggish. Do you guys think you overextended yourself a little bit in the first half, or was it did DC adjust tactically at all?
I mean, yeah, we were coming into this game with a very attacking lineup. We have so many, you know, attacking minded players in this group, and especially tonight in the starting 11, we had, you know, the likes of Barco coming back in the side, which was great to see, and you know, Marcelino, Jürgen Damm was, you know, flying up the wing. So it was a very, you know, attacking minded group. And I thought, you know, coming into the game, we knew we were going to have a lot of the ball, but we needed to take care of, you know, their chances offensively. And, you know, in the first half, I don't think they had any clear cut chances. And then, yeah, as you said, they made changes going into the second half, and they caught us on the break a couple of times. You know, because as I said, we have a very attacking minded group. You know, we're trying to push for those goals to try and win the game, and you know, you have to look on the other side of that, and you know, be aware of their counterattack and those guys going forward for them. So, yeah, they definitely changed their mindset and their tactics.
Okay, a little unusual hearing from a player before the coach. That is the case today. So Brooks Lennon's thoughts after the game. He began his media availability before we had that potted up, where he said he described the two DC goals that Atlanta United gave up as cheap. They were cheap goals, especially the first one. No question about that.
Yeah, they were absolutely cheap, because they're goals that you can't give up. It's a cheap gift to DC, and ended up giving them 3 points.
Okay, now we'll take the break. We'll come back. We'll have highlights after this. Remember to send us your questions and your comments at Mike Conti 929 and at Longshoe. We're already getting some spicy ones. Keep them coming. We ain't scared. And we'll have more of the full-time report after this, as Atlanta United falls to DC United today 1-0 on Sports Radio 929 The Game.
Back with more full-time report
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Okay, back live with a full-time report. Atlanta United falls to DC United 2-1. Let's go downstairs. Glassy now is at the podium.
Brooks, do you think the team overextended themselves physically in the first half? Because it was a bit sluggish in the second. Once you guys go down a goal, the team really wakes up. But the first 30 minutes of the first half or the second half looked a little bit different.
No, I don't think we overextended ourselves at all. I think you've got to be able to play at that pace for 90 minutes if you want to be a professional footballer and at Atlanta United. So I'd say no. And I think they probably changed slightly tactically second half to give us a few more problems than they did in the first half that we didn't cope with very well. We weren't as creative as we were in the first half. But I don't think by any means we overextended ourselves in the first half. That's the expectation of how that group of players should be playing.
Next question, Joe Patrick.
Hey, Coach. Can you just take us through kind of the emotional roller coaster that happened in that last 10 minutes, and specifically how you and the bench were feeling about just how that goal potentially could have changed the game that John scored?
Yeah, I think they were better second half than they were in the first half, giving us a little bit more of a threat. But I still felt like we were in control. We made positive changes to try and inject some more life back into the team. Like you said, it went a little bit flat for periods. So we tried to put a little bit more pace, a little bit more life back in. I think we achieved that. We lost a goal off a free kick that was just a set play, and we lose a runner and he scores a goal. So from there, like you say, the roller coaster is we really throw everything at it. There's a huge urgency level goes up. You could see what it meant to the players. And we managed to get on level terms. From there, we're still slightly open. We're going for a winner. I don't consider that we were too open. We were still in a position to defend, and we just didn't do it properly. So I think there's a huge roller coaster of emotion. You're correct that we're down. We didn't deserve to be. I didn't feel we managed to get back on, and we think we're going to get a winner. And then you get the wind really knocked out your sails. So it's up to us to get back on board for Wednesday night now.
Next one, back to Felipe.
Thank you. Stephen, could you just describe, or you know, what did you want to see from Marcelino Moreno? Like, what was his role tactically? He was at times looked like a second striker, other times very much a 10. What was the expectation from the staff with Marcelino tonight?
I think we were expecting him to play at the top end of midfield. He's almost right in between a second striker and a number 10, if you like. So an advanced midfield player, picking up the ball in dangerous areas, which I think he did a lot of the time. I think in the first half, it looked like he thought he was in more of a free role, or certainly that's the way the game panned out, which we needed a little bit more defensive work from him, which he gave us. He gave us at times, and then in the second half, he was more of a creative influence in the game, I think. So he's doing what we're asking of him, and like we said, it's not going to be easy for him coming in and having an expectation and a burden pushed right on him. But he's aware of that, and he's capable of coping with it, and I'm sure he's going to be a great player for the club long term.
Okay, Stephen Glass with his post-match remarks following his team's 2-1 loss to DC United this afternoon, responding to some interesting observations of this match. I want to remind you that Atlanta United, for each clean sheet they have this year, will donate $2,000 to Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. This year's donation total is currently $10,000. Should we get on the roller coaster here with the highlights?
Sure.
It was an emotional roller coaster. It's an emotional roller coaster for me. I was ticked off. It's an emotional roller coaster for Jason. Highs and lows and more highs and more lows in the final, really, 15 minutes of the match. Match was played to a stalemate for the first 78 minutes. And then it felt like, I have to be honest, I mean, I felt Atlanta United was in control up to the point of the DC goal. But as DC was setting up for the free kick that produced the first goal of the game, we both said, Jason and I, you don't want to concede on a set piece against the run of play. What happened? Atlanta United conceded on a set piece against the run of play. You do not want to give up a set piece goal against the run of play. A draw would be bad. A loss in this match would be a disaster. So you've got to be on your marks here on this set piece.
A loss in a way like this it would be.
Yeah. They attack the goal to our right. Here's Gressel up to the ball, pitching it to the penalty spot. And it's headed into the goal by Canales! You've got to be kidding me! Atlanta United's playoff life is on the line right now. They do give up the set piece goal. Incredible! It continues to happen. And look, by the way, that was Canales' second goal of the year. Gressel, who struck the ball, was given an assist. That's only his second assist of the year. Look, I mean, we'll call it like we see it. Brad Guzan's got to make that save. That was a shocking goal given up by Brad Guzan.
Yeah, you can't concede a goal in that way. You just can't. The way the play broke down a little bit, Rivas goes down easily to try to draw a penalty. Villarreal wasn't having that on either side as players went down in the box. But when Rivas went down, and it was looked at because after the goal, Villarreal, the referee, did have his hand to his ear. He was having a conversation with the VAR and the fourth official. Rivas, when he went down, made some contact with Adam John. Adam John can't get deeper to that back post to defend Canales. Even with that, it's still a header right at Brad Guzan, and it gets through, and that changes the whole match. It changes everything.
Well, Atlanta United's given up a lot of sloppy goals, cheap goals, to use Brooks Lennon's term. That was a cheap goal. But another thing that Atlanta United has done a lot lately is get late equalizers. And when it seemed as though everything was circling down the drain in this match, John Gallagher gives Atlanta United life in the 89th minute. 88th minute off the free kick. Here is Assad. Miss playing it up to Reyna, and Meza will clear. Down the left wing to Mulroney. Mulroney ahead to Marcelino Moreno. Moreno will drop it back now to Adams in the Atlanta end. Swings it over to Meza on the left wing. We're deep in the 88th minute. Atlanta United trailing 1-0. Up ahead to Heinemann. Swept on, a good ball ahead to Lennon now. Right attacking third. Here's a cross by Lennon to John. Over his head! And then it's in for a goal! On the back post by John Gallagher! Incredible in the 89th minute!
It's not done yet, folks. John Gallagher's not going to let this team die yet.
Well, they weren't dead at that point. Fourth goal of the year for John Gallagher. If you would have told me that with three matches remaining in the season, John Gallagher would lead Atlanta United in goals, I'd say, you're crazy. And if you were to tell me that four goals would be the team lead with three matches to go in the season, I'd say, you're crazy. But that's what's happened. For Gallagher, it is his third goal against DC United in two matches.
John Gallagher came on and brought energy. You know, Jürgen Damm didn't have enough in the second half. John Gallagher came in and just threw his body around trying to make something happen. After the team fell behind, he just doesn't give up on a cross, and he gives the team a lifeline.
Okay, before we play DC's game winner, I want to ask you while I'm thinking about it. It feels to me that Atlanta United might be in a better position, again, matchup dependent, but just saying best 11 on best 11, it feels to me like John Gallagher as the striker in front of Barco on the left, Moreno central, and Dom or Lennon on the right might be the best look for Atlanta United right now.
It's tough because Atlanta United, and you saw it in the second half as they were trying to find a winner, was really reliant on crosses from the right side. That's not a new story here in Atlanta. It's been that way for a long time. But John Gallagher's not going to get on the end of a lot of those as the primary number nine because he's not a big forward. Center backs are going to be able to deal with him. Now, he gets the space because Adam John is occupying center backs because of his size. He's more of a target. We've seen Gallagher up top at times, and it hasn't worked. It's going to be a challenge because Kubo Torres didn't show you enough today. I don't think he gets the start on Wednesday. Is it John or is it Gallagher? You probably have to go with Gallagher, but you've got to play a little differently to get the best out of it.
Well, that's a good point. To me, it just feels like Kubo's really, really struggling. I just don't know what he has right now to offer. It, I believe, was Kubo's longest run out of the year for Atlanta United, and that's part of it, too, just in his defense. Okay, well, we got to play the game winner, so here it is. Maybe 90 seconds to play. Jordy Reyna coming down the middle. Stood up by Heinemann. Can't win the ball, though. Off it goes to Mora on the left wing. Mora into the box. Now Paredes dribbles in at the end line. Oh, man, wide open. Rivas, top of the box. Shot, score! Unbelievable! Is that it? That's it. Okay.
About how it felt.
We've Zapruder filmed this a couple times. Some analysts have picked on one center back for Atlanta United. We've picked it apart, and look, I'm not all about blaming one person for a goal. The teams give up goals. It's a team breakdown. But as we've pulled it apart, I'm not as sure now that the blame has been correctly assigned in this case.
So I will walk you through it a little bit in the way it played out. As DC swung the ball to the left, Paredes breaks in on Lennon. It's a great move from Paredes to beat Lennon. He's up against the end line. There's nowhere for him to go. Rivas, as Paredes beat Lennon, dropped off of the two center backs. Miles Robinson was with him initially, but he moved into a zone that Fernando Meza is on the corner of the six. And as Paredes goes to the end line, Rivas drops off of both of them, closer to Meza and away from Robinson. And when the ball's played back to him, you can see Meza and Robinson both turn and say, how did he get there?
Mm-hmm.
The communication has to be better from the jump here. And you can talk about those two and Brad Guzan in that moment because Rivas steps away from everybody. And then Robinson is the closest to him when he shoots because he closes the ground. Rivas takes a heavy touch to his left foot. Robinson lunges for it. Meza gets caught in kind of no man's land. Robinson loses him because he steps back away because he saw where Paredes was going. He anticipated that Paredes was going to beat Lennon to where he did and where he didn't have an option to play it across the face of goal. He had to pull it back. Rivas reacted to that faster than Robinson or Meza did, and he got loose. It's great movement from him. But Robinson is taking all of the blame. It's not all on Robinson. It's Lennon. It's Meza. It's Robinson. It's Gazan, because he gets – Rivas gets free in that moment after Paredes got free to begin with.
And it's 3 points for DC United and none for Atlanta United, who again now are 5-11-4, 19 points, falling to 12th in the East. Their playoff hopes not mathematically dead, but very, very much on life support. DC's fourth win of the year. They're 2-1-1 now under their caretaker manager, Chad Ashton. Everything is better when Atlanta United wins. To date, a total of $5,000 has been donated to Piedmont Healthcare as a not-for-profit hospital system. Piedmont Healthcare relies on the generosity of donors to expand healthcare services in our community. Atlanta United is proud to be a Piedmont donor. Okay, last call for questions and comments on Twitter at MikeConti929 and at Longshoe, and we'll get into that right after this as Atlanta United falls to DC United 2-1 here on the Full-Time Report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
That should be it. That is it. Full-time.
This is the Full-Time Report
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, back live at the Benz on the Full-Time Report. Atlanta United falling to DC United 2-1. Atlanta United now falling to 12th in the East. Their playoff hopes are in grave danger. They aren't mathematically out, but they are in grave danger now of missing the postseason with 3 matches to play. Atlanta United might be in a situation where they need to win all 3 of their remaining matches, and 2 of them will be on the road. Let's get to your comments and questions now on Twitter, brought to you by TCL, the official smartphone partner of Atlanta United. How does the saying go, retweets are not endorsements?
Have you heard that before? Yeah, I've heard that before.
Okay, so by us reading questions, they're not endorsements by us. We clear on that? Like, just because the question's posed to us doesn't mean it's the way we feel.
That's a strong disclaimer, Mike.
All right, well, we'll start with this. From Cuppers, at least we know Atlanta United does not deserve to go to the playoffs. I don't endorse that. I know you don't endorse that either.
I don't endorse it because of the way it's typically used.
Well, and let me just interject.
Yeah.
There's a difference between not deserving to go to the playoffs and not being good enough to go to the playoffs.
Yeah.
I think, unfortunately, Atlanta United is in the latter right now. They're just not good enough. And we can have a long discussion on why that is. Mm-hmm. We'll do it on Wednesday, stoppage time. We can do it a little bit here. Mm-hmm. It's many reasons. Mm-hmm. Some of those reasons have been oddly, bizarrely overlooked, which I think mostly hinge on the absence of Joseph Martinez. So I feel like the effort's there. You saw the effort. Yep. You saw the effort to go get the equalizer today. You were in control of the match until Canales scored in the 79th minute. So the effort's there. I feel like when you say you don't deserve to go to the playoffs, it's a indictment of effort. I don't think it's fair to indict Atlanta United's effort.
No, and I think that's a story that is being written as we speak, and it doesn't fit what's going on, in my opinion. The effort deserves to continue playing this season. The quality does not. The quality has not been high enough to be in a better position in the table. It's just as simple as that. Do you deserve it because you've been working hard? Absolutely. There's teams who have looked like they've quit on their manager. There's teams who have looked like they've quit on their club. That has not been the case here in Atlanta. The effort deserves it. The quality is not good enough for them to be in a playoff position right now, and it doesn't look like it's going to dramatically change. You're going to need a little bit of luck in these last 3 with 2 of them on the road against top teams to get enough points to get in.
Pat Richards, again, questions do not equal endorsements. Pat Richards wants to know, how does Atlanta United rebuild for 2021? I've already responded to that on Twitter. Said, get Joseph Martinez healthy. That'd probably be a good start.
I don't think it's much of a rebuild. I think when you look at this team going into 21, your major questions are Joseph's health, because he's critical. And this is not a new story. It's been this way since 2017. Remember when he had a quad injury and Atlanta struggled for goals? That happened. That was a problem. We've seen it, you know, different points where he's had small injuries. We haven't seen anything like this. You have to figure out long-term what you're doing at the defensive midfield position. Is Jeff Lorenowitz going to come back for another year? Is Mo Adams a potential solution there? Is Mateus Hosetu a potential solution there? Is Fernando Meza maybe moving out of the center back role a potential solution there? Because you also have to decide about what you're doing at center back. Because we've seen Franco Escobar at center back. It's been very good when he's been at center back. Is that a long-term possibility? Because it would allow you to get Lennon on the field at right back, Dom on the field as a right winger, and Escobar all on the field. If Escobar is in the right back position, you're only getting two of those three on the field because it's a lot harder to move Lennon or Dom somewhere else than the right side. So I think it's the defensive midfield as the number one outside of Joseph Martinez's recovery. I think it's the long-term partnership at center back. Are you happy with what you have? What is it? And what does that mean for the roster? And Ezequiel Barco's long-term future. Is he going to be a potential transfer target in January? And that, to a large degree, is outside of your control because the worldwide transfer market is incredibly in flux right now, as you saw spending down about 25% in this past window. Does that bounce back with really very few leagues in the world having spectators at the moment and bringing that revenue? That could change the timelines that were in mind going into 2020 dramatically, completely outside of your control.
Okay, again, questions do not constitute endorsements. Shiva points to a tweet by Fox commentator Stu Holden that Atlanta United was uninspired and tepid tonight. Shiva says, that's a bad look when we're called uninspired and tepid. We have to fix this. Again, I don't feel uninspired and tepid are fair descriptors of what happened tonight. I would call it disjointed and frustrating. And look, I mean, you understand why it is the way it is. There's a total explanation for it. You've got a lot of players who have not been together very long. The lack of chemistry and continuity is, especially in the attacking third, very glaring right now. But it's understandable. I mean, Jurgen Damm hasn't been here very long. Marcelino Moreno hasn't been here very long. Barco's just getting back to fitness. I thought Barco played very well, by the way, today.
Yep.
You're not getting what you hoped out of Kubo for whatever reason. So now you're having to interchange John Gallagher, maybe play him out of position. You're trying to work Mulroney into this. Look, it's understandable. These guys just haven't been in. Hosetu is another one.
Yep.
You just have not been able to work together long enough to have that continuity. It will come.
I'll give a little bit of a pass on the word tepid because going into the final third, at times this team lacks being decisive enough. And if you want to try to play that into this conversation, okay, I'm okay with that one. Uninspired, I think, is a completely unfair comment because if you're watching the way this team plays, it is far from uninspired. Uninspired is a team that looks like it has quit and doesn't care about the result of the match. You didn't see that before you fell behind 1-0. You didn't see that after you fell behind 1-0. You haven't seen that here. The time you saw uninspired was the first 45 minutes against Columbus in the MLS's back tournament.
Yes.
That was uninspired soccer. We have not seen that since that halftime. And you can talk about quality and decisiveness and lots of other words with very important definitions that seem to get lost at times because they're thrown out there. Uninspired is an unfair characterization of this team right now.
Yeah, and I think, again, it's those comments are being made by people who only see bits and pieces.
More than likely.
I think almost certainly. Now, Stu Holden is doing the game on Wednesday. Maybe he was watching the full game today. There are others who write for the league website who I know are unable to watch every minute of every match because they're charged with analyzing, you know, 13, 14 different matches a weekend. Okay, again, reading the question does not constitute an endorsement. Michael Head says, this is unacceptable. I hold the front office responsible. Name a successful signee since Nagby, which was in December of 2017, almost 3 years ago. 3 years, he exclaimed. I've responded to that on Twitter. I said, have you watched Brooks Lennon play this year? I mean, that's one that just immediately comes to mind.
Mm-hmm.
I think, again, like, when Joseph got hurt, you have to react to that kind of on the fly. your options in March in order to deal with that are very limited.
Mm-hmm.
They did the best they could given those circumstances. You're out of roster spots. They made a move for Eric Lopez thinking they would have permission from the league to play him. Turns out that permission did not come. I don't know whose fault that is. It sure sounds like it was the league's, but I don't know. There are a lot of things that have gone on this year that hinge on the Joseph injury that, again, I think has just been overlooked completely to create indictments of people or groups of people. I don't think that's fair. I think it all hinges on what happened to Joseph. I am surprised it's been this bad without him. I am surprised about that. And I think that is, that's a fair comment. Like, how can it be this bad without just one player? Joseph is that important. But they've made good signings since Nagby. I think that's an inaccurate statement. I think Pity Martinez was a good signing.
Yes,
in fact, Michael kind of clapped back and said Pity was not because he was the South American Player of the Year. Well, that was a title that assigned an unrealistic expectation to him. Pity Martinez averaged nearly a goal or assist per match for Atlanta United. They do not win the U.S. Open Cup without Pity Martinez player in that tournament. So I don't think that's fair.
When you go back and look at the shots created for himself or for others, Pity Martinez in the last 2 years in MLS was in the top five in the league. That doesn't happen by accident. You can expect more because of the award he won at River Plate. That's fine, and that's understandable, but you can't say that he didn't produce. Brooks Lennon has been an absolute hit here this season. I think the Jurgen Damm signing is going to be a good one. He's had fitness issues and a hamstring when he started to get to full fitness. I don't think the narrative is fully written on Jurgen Damm just yet. Marcelino Moreno we've seen 3 times now, and he hadn't played since March, so it's a little fair to put expectations on him. George Bello being incorporated into the team, I guess now the in-vogue thing is to say that Bello doesn't add anything or Bello isn't that good. He'll be playing for the United States at the age group, probably the U-20s, potentially the Olympic team next year. He is that good, and he's been that good for this team. The other ones that you've mentioned, Emerson Heineman, Mateo Sosetu, these are players that I think take a bad rap and an unfair rap because you can't have that conversation in a vacuum. You had other elements that do push you to have to make some changes. You can't just pay everybody whatever raise they would want. You run out of room in the salary cap. You made a decision on Julian Gressel and you brought in Brooks Lennon. That has been an upgrade. I know emotionally maybe it's not an upgrade,
no,
but this game's not played with emotions.
Unassailably
an upgrade.
Even emotionally.
It should.
Unassailably an upgrade.
It should. It absolutely should. Mo Adams was a good addition.
By the way, a pressured addition. Remember, that was a move made when Breck Shea got hurt last year, and Atlanta United had to make a move just to get 18 guys into the team against Houston the next day.
And that was a good addition to get Mo into this team. You are taking away some of the cap-related things that force changes. You're taking away some of the players that wanted an exit as well. And again, this is another one where it's starting to be rewritten on this. Look, it's difficult to hit on every signing you've ever had. You can go back to the beginning and there were signings that were missed early on. But this team it's not that issue for me. The talent is there. The talent has not been available together this season enough. That's one major issue. I mean, this attacking group you saw today hadn't played together before today. And it shows.
All right. Let's, if we can, I do want to get to a few more questions. I feel like it's important to have a discourse with the 17s.
Yeah.
Try to put into context what we've seen. Dylan, if we can, let's pause 10 seconds for station identification.
The Atlanta United play here.
WZGC Atlanta. WZGC HD1.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I'm in a glass case of emotion today. Penn State making a crazy comeback in their game at Indiana after it looked like they were going to lose. So I guess it's not going to be all that bad for me today. Hopefully, there's still time left in that one. I know most of you don't care about Penn State, but I do, and I want to shout that out. Okay, couple more from the 17s. And again, want to reiterate, reading the questions are not endorsements, but I do feel it's our job as team radio announcers to engage with our fans. Matt Wagner, and we've addressed this a little bit, but I want you to speak more specifically to it. He says, Miles didn't look as sharp today. Always love his effort, but his play has not been clean.
I disagree from the last month and a half or so. Miles had an injury at the very beginning of the season. Miles did not look good in the MLS's back tournament. Miles was not 100% when play restarted. And remember, he didn't start that first game back, and he had to come on when Fernando Meza was injured, which has been part of the rotating cast of characters on this back line at times that has made things very difficult. But Miles, I think, played himself into good form and has been very, very good recently. Very, very recently, shutting down Gonzalo Higuain.
Yes.
Completely
yes.
Shutting him down. Yeah. Tonight, Miles was good for the most part. And rating systems that do not have any judgment outside of the statistics that are involved had him as one of the highest rated players in the match tonight. He was very, very good. He did have some fault on the first goal. I think the first goal is a little harsh to put fault on him. There's more fault on many other things in that sequence. But Robinson has some fault on that last goal, and that's why we didn't give him man of the match. We were talking about the ratings, and that's why we didn't give him that. But to say that he's been bad for a while, no, he was bad in the middle of the season because he wasn't 100%. He didn't look healthy. He's looked healthy, and he's played much better.
All right, one more from Glenn Meadows, who somehow is blaming this all on Frank DeBoer.
Oh, Frank. He's still the guy, the bad guy here, I guess.
Look, I've defended Frank DeBoer. I've been very transparent about that. I don't want to make this a Frank DeBoer thing. Players have got to execute. Okay, your goalkeeper is on his line on a set piece where if he comes off his line, he's probably catching that before it even gets to Canales. We've pointed out the errors that your center backs made on the second goal, maybe a little bit on the first goal too. In the attack, obviously there's disjointed play. There are issues. There have been some times where, dispossessions have come a little too easily. I know we live in the South and we have very much a college football mindset down here where you have to blame the coach because you don't want to blame an 18 or a 19-year-old kid. But you got to hold the players accountable for where they are right now. And by the way, the players needed to be held accountable for where they were coming out of Orlando.
Yeah.
And by the way, that's something that the team captain said, Brad Guzan, that everyone needed to be held accountable for that. So I just Frank hasn't been here since July. I don't know how this comes back on Frank.
It's not.
But this is, and I think Glassy would tell you this. I think Darren Eales would tell you this. I think Carlos Bocanegra would tell you this. It's not one person. It's a collective. And Atlanta United is where they are right now because of the collective. And some of it has been out of their control. Some of it has been very much in their control. But it's not one person. It's everyone.
Yeah. You're not going to nail it down to Frank DeBoer, who hasn't been here for a while. Frank Merrow had a question about who do we blame for the lack of tactics and intensity. This is not a college football team with half teenagers and kids. These are professionals. And if they're struggling for intensity, that's a problem. And if you're looking to a manager who, in this case, is an interim manager who isn't, his job future being with his first team next year is not on paper right now. If you're looking to him to inspire these group of professionals, the professionals have to look in the mirror for intensity. There's no way. That doesn't make any sense to me. The lack of tactics, you were the better team tonight. There was no tactical issue. You were the better team in the first half. You were the better team in the second half before the goal. Even when DC changed their tactics, you were the better team. This was not a tactical issue. This has not been a tactical issue this season. That's the thing, is you can look at whatever you want and you can make whoever you want as the scapegoat. And that's an easy thing here. But it's not one thing. It's not one person. It is a complicated season. It's a difficult season. and you have not made the most of the opportunities you've had this season. That is 100% true. But to look at what has gone wrong, you can't pin the blame on one thing or one person. That's impossible the way this year has gone.
If Joseph Martinez does not tear his ACL in Nashville, if there is...
That's the biggest one.
That's the biggest, but then if there's no three-month stoppage due to a global pandemic...
There's that.
If there's no inability to bring fans back in your own building after the global pandemic until today... Guys, these are things that are out of the club's control right now.
No, that is the biggest one, though. If you want to pin one thing and you want to put one thing up on the wall that would have changed the season, it's Joseph Martinez, 100%. His knee not, you know, having an ACL tear. That is the one thing that would have made it very different.
All right, I think we've done the best we can. Let's take a break. We'll come back with some final thoughts, and we'll look ahead to Wednesday's match in Orlando, which now is absolutely a must-win for Atlanta United right after this. 2-1 loss to DC United this afternoon here on the Full-Time Report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back to the Full-Time Report. The home for our Atlanta United is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, wrapping things up on the Full-Time Report, Atlanta United falls to DC United 2-1 this afternoon, and now they'll go down to Orlando Wednesday night. And look, Atlanta United's had a lot of success at Exploria Stadium over the years. They've never lost there. But because you did not win tonight, in fact, you didn't even get a point tonight, now you got to get probably at least a point, more likely three, in Orlando if you want to keep your faint, and they are faint, playoff hopes alive. Can they do it? Orlando played a first-choice lineup today, lost at the death on a goal by Leandro Gonzalez-Pires, of all people, 2-1 down in Miami. That is probably going to take Orlando out of the mix for the Shield.
Yeah, 100%.
But they are still absolutely a threat for a top-four seed in the Eastern Conference, which would carry a couple home playoff games. So how do you see it on Wednesday, knowing that you've then got to turn around on Sunday and absolutely take care of business at home? I foresee some challenges here for Stephen Glass as he tries to set up a team for Wednesday.
You've got to field your best team available. You can't think about another game turning around on Sunday, and that's the luxury that you don't have anymore, is you've got to go play and try to get 3 points in this match. You've got to try to take advantage of an Orlando team that could be down a little bit. We've talked about this with them before. They've been a team that's been weak mentally. Are they going to crumble after giving up a late winner to their new rivals, Miami? You need to test that, and you need to be incredibly aggressive early on. And as we've said pretty much consistently since August, you have to produce more chances. You have to be better in the final third. You have to be more decisive in the final third. That awakening needs to happen now.
You're out of time now.
Yep.
No points on Wednesday might end the whole thing. So we're going to be on the air at 7 o'clock Wednesday night for the Five Stripes Countdown, 7:30 the kickoff from Exploria Stadium, Atlanta United and Orlando City for the final time this year. Orlando City has a win against Atlanta United. Atlanta United got a draw on Labor Day weekend there. They're going to need a win on Wednesday to keep their hope alive. That'll do it for tonight. On-site engineer David Jones, producer Dylan Matthews, for Jason Longshore, I'm Mike Conti. Once again, Atlanta United falling to DC United 2-1. We'll see you Wednesday night on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You've been listening to MLS action of our Atlanta United. Tune in for complete match day coverage all season long. The home for our Atlanta United is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.